All right, good morning, golfers. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, August 3rd, 2013. Excited to have author, cook, actor Joseph Caniscoli on the show this evening or this morning. We're going to be talking a little Long Island golf, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, we're back. Thank you for joining us on Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined now by Joseph Caniscoli. Joseph, how are you?
Good, Ant. What's going on?
Not much. You know, I was going through your website, and you know, you've done it all. It seems at this point, you're renowned cook, actor, author. You have a number of different things and sort of a variety of items for sale on your website. Have you always had this sort of, growing up, this eclectic interest in different things? Because it seems like you have your hands in a lot of different things.
I did. You know, that's the old Brooklyn hustle in me. So I don't even know if my latest endeavor is on my website. It's more on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I created a sleeve that goes over a 5-gallon water cooler, the 5-gallon jug.
Okay.
And I had the licensing for NFL, NHL, NBA, and MLB, plus Collegiate, plus Disney, DC Comics. And what a great company. And I actually just got back from Pittsburgh. I did the NHL show, and tonight I leave for Vegas for a big show, and I was seriously thinking about doing golf covers, and I was thinking about the Stone Bridge at Augusta.
Sure.
Some great holes, holes that would be very recognizable in some great golf courses. So I'm going to look into that.
It's fantastic. So what is this sleeve? Is some sort of like a bigger rendition of the beer sleeve?
It's not a...
Or it's not an insulator. It's more just like a fan type of thing?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a sleeve that's made out of Lycra.
Oh, okay.
And, it is a sleeve. And if you turn it, you know, the empty water jug upside down when it's empty, and I have at my house, I put coins in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use it both ways, and... they're going to be, in sporting goods stores and Home Depot, and they're going to be just about everywhere.
Gotcha. Let's talk briefly, because we can't talk to you without, my guest is Joseph Caniscoli. Get all his stuff or check out. He's got a number of different things on joessoup.com. Known for his ability to cook. He's a wonderful actor, as you know, famously from The Sopranos, and also author of A Meal to Die For. Let's talk real quick about The Sopranos. When you look back on The Sopranos, what do you reflect on the most?
I just being part of history, mm-hmm. I think. Cinematic television, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I always say it's like being part of the 27 Yankees or the 85 Bears or... something that's going to be remembered for years to come, and I'm just glad I was part of it.
Did you ever think that one of the most famous lines in the show of this, like you said, a television show that made history would be "I love you, Johnny Cakes"?
No, and actually, I get a little annoyed when people do say that. I don't know why. But,
yeah,
that's what I'm known for, and maybe because the guy passed away, you know, so I bring back, you know, kind of weird stuff.
Right, right, right. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and can't thank you enough. I want to talk a little Long Island golf, but we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
We're back. Thank you for joining us on Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is cook, actor, author, Joseph Caniscoli. Find all his stuff on joessoup.com. Joe, let's talk a little bit about your love for cooking. How did that sort of manifest itself, and when did it start?
Well, first of all, man, you keep saying cook. It's chef.
But chef, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry about that.
And then the joessoup.com. I'm not really on that much. I'm more, okay. Like I said, Twitter and Facebook is the best to see what I'm doing, what I got going on.
Okay.
That's all right. And my cooking?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You know, I didn't grow up in a big food household, and it wasn't always, you know, revolving around the kitchen and table and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just sort of maybe fell into it, and I liked it because it was creative.
Yep.
And it was like a little bit of theater. You know, especially when you have open kitchens.
Sure.
And, you know, the action was great, and the adrenaline flowing when it's a busy night. So I liked all that part, you know?
No, I agree, and I like the way you said that, theater. I mean, that's... I grew up in a traditional Italian household. There were a lot of people in it, and there was a lot, and it revolved around the kitchen. And my mother, who is a wonderful cook, one of the best that I know, taught me how to cook, and I would describe it just like that. I thought that's well said, theater, because there's always a lot of action in the kitchen, especially in an Italian household.
It's true. In between the fight.
Exactly. But that's what it is. You know, it is what it is. And then, so after you become a chef. And then you sort of write this book, A Meal to Die For. I know the timing isn't, just like that. You were a chef for quite some time. Writing a book is not something you just decide to do, and it's not easy to do. But how did you get it done?
I wrote that book after I was got out of cooking and was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And it's a cookbook novel basically loosed on my life as a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And, being on the show, it opened some doors for me, and I was able to get it published. And it's not new. It came out in 06.
Sure. No, I know that.
But I continue to do signings with it, restaurants. They always have me in. And, you know, sometimes they travel, and I'll plan a menu at a dinner. And, you know, we'll do autographs and... sign the book, and it's a lot of fun. So wherever I go, the book comes.
How hard is it to take on that endeavor of writing a book?
Well, you know, the publisher, they set me up with a ghostwriter.
Uh-huh.
And I told them the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, it was about 30 recipes. They're all my recipes. And
right.
They shape it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reread it. And then, you know, I fix things. And we go back and forth. It's all a process. And it took about a year to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would think, even with somebody, you know, helping you out, it's quite the endeavor to do. It's a lot of organization, trying to remember everything and then telling it in the right thing, telling it in the right line, you know, the way that you want it to be told. And
right.
then the acting part. Let's talk a little bit about the acting part. How did you get into that?
I was a chef of a restaurant in Manhattan. Well, a long time ago, and then that, and there was a waiter there that had a theater company. Excuse me, that most you know, waiters are either actors or actresses. And he said, "We're doing a play, and you'd be great for this part. Do you want to come and audition?" And I did, and I got it, and I got the bug. And I said, "You know, what do I do now?" Because obviously, you got to learn technique and
sure,
so on and so forth. So. He recommended a teacher. I got out of the restaurant business. I went to the teacher for about 2 years. I was tired of being broke. And I stopped that. Went back into the restaurant business. Opened up a few in Brooklyn, where I'm from. And became hugely successful. But then I took up the bad habit of gambling, and I was a bad gambler. By the way, I'm leaving for Vegas tonight. But you know, I'm going to try to behave.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, as things worked out, that I, I gambled away the restaurant.
Right.
Lost $80,000 one Sunday, and by Thursday, I was in Los Angeles. And I looked at my friend, the waiter, and he was in L.A., and we became roommates, and I stayed out there 4 years, which wasn't easy, but, you know, I sort of got my start there.
Mm-hmm. How was,
I would say
okay.
That worked out.
I would definitely say that worked out. Do you think that the fact that you sort of had this sort of creative side and to you growing up with the cooking, like you said, and helped with the acting?
Yeah, you know, it's all the use of the imagination and the creative process, and I think it helps somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
It happens more my entrepreneurial skills that I, you know, I'm constantly... you know, thinking of things.
Sure. What was the biggest challenge for you when you started acting?
Just getting started. You know, it could be a lonely town, Los Angeles, and I'm not, you know, fond of Los Angeles. Brings back a lot of bad memories.
Sure.
Because, you know, I was down and out. I gave up, you know, a very lucrative restaurant. I left with, you know, a girl behind, a family I didn't tell till I was in New York. They lent me the money to open the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Took me years to pay them back. And Joey G always paid his debts in.
That's right.
And my bookie could tell you that.
Yeah.
So, you know, come summertime, come the holidays, where I wasn't going home, because I was tapped out. And it's very lonely. So.
Sure. No, I went to school out there. I went to school in Los Angeles, or just outside Los Angeles, and it can be a lonely place. And I was in college, and I remember I went to not my favorite moments, but I remember I just going with a bunch of guys for Thanksgiving, and we went to a restaurant for, you know, like a commercial Thanksgiving dinner. And I remember just looking around the table being like, oh, God, this is so not Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So,
I try to have Thanksgiving. You know, I did actually a few times with people that were there and I was trying to get it on. And, you know, it's...
you make it through.
Football, and it just wasn't the same. As a matter of fact, I know, a couple of them were vegetarians. And I was like, what am I going to make here?
Yeah, it can be a lonely place, though, that's for sure. But how did you feel like you could do this right away, or did you feel that acting was going to be something you're going to have to... I mean, I know you always have to work at it, but was it something that sort of came natural to you early?
It didn't really come natural early. You know, I don't really audition well,
mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully that subsided somewhat. You know, you get nervous.
Sure.
And, you know, you always think you should have did that, you should have done this after the audition. And, people want to know that you could deliver because time is money in front of the camera.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it took a while. I was just extremely lucky to be in the right place at the right time with The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after I came home. I did a few movies. I became friends with Benicio del Toro.
Yes, yes.
He's a great actor. And one thing led to another, and he got me in some movies in New York. And then the casting directors wanted to meet me, and, you know, I didn't have an agent. So they said, well, just check in with us every 2 months. And The Sopranos came along. I had played a different role. Then Vito, I was Gino in the bakery scene the first year.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the three people who played is two different characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had the idea of making my character gay from a book I was reading, true story about a Brooklyn crew,
mm-hmm.
the gay guy, and, you know, that was a mobster, and, you know, you know, from being from Brooklyn, it's not an easy thing to do. You know, you can imagine with the guys, the friends, the guys that are real guys.
Sure.
You know, all that's kind of rough, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a very alpha male kind of group of guys, so that's not going to be it's not going to be looked upon very, very well. But, you know, your character, I mean, despite, first of all, I thought you did I was watching heavily at that point, and so I follow along. I thought you did, you know, sort of displaying the sort of sensitivities of the character. I thought you did an awesome job. I mean, I'm no, you know, major critic or anything. I just thought it was a great job that you did in expressing what this character was going through. But even after your death, the character basically drives the whole next season. Did you expect it to have that kind of impact?
I'm not exactly sure. You know, I have to refocus on the, because I'm rewatching it now.
Uh-huh.
Light of what happened, and HBO's been playing one season every month.
Right.
So I'm rewatching it myself because it's been so long since I watched it, and I'm going to play closely attention. I do know at the sixth season, which was pretty odd. I mean, it sort of like focused on me,
mm-hmm.
and when I wasn't in the episode, they were still talking about it and talking about me. When I, you know, they did so many of them that season, so that was pretty cool. And you know, that whole season and that storyline changed my life.
Absolutely.
So, the better. And I was hoping it would open more acting doors. It hasn't really done that. People know who I am and so on. I mean, I go back to Los Angeles and, you know, not live, you know, not going through dumpsters to eat. Not that I did, but, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like that, yeah.
Sure.
So, but that's why I'm always trying to look at something else because, you know, I wound up getting married. I went from, like, you know, rent-controlled apartment in Brooklyn and to a, you know, big house in Long Island. And you have a baby, so, you know, you got to earn.
You definitely have to earn. There's no doubt about that. Well, with the baby and everything else, how often, I know you love golf on Long Island, how often do you get, given the fact that you do have you're married with a child and you have this sort of entrepreneurial spirit, how often are you playing golf these days?
Well, funny thing is that when my wife delivered, I was on the golf course, but I went to the hospital in time.
Sure.
So I got my 18 in because I was up at 5 a.m.
Nice.
So here's the deal. I kind of like gave up golf.
What?
Yeah.
Figures. I'm ready to get you on the show. Hopefully, I thought we'd get the chance to go out and play, but now you've given it up. What happened?
Here's what happened. When I did the show, you saw I was limping, right?
Yes, I did see that.
Right, so I needed double hip replacement, which I did. And then my, you know, it was painful to do every step that I ever took.
Uh-huh.
So I get that done, and, you know, I got the hips of an 18-year-old. And it's great. So I'm doing a movie where I'm playing golf, and in between shots, I'm hitting balls. I'm saying, wow, you know, I can turn, doesn't hurt, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got done with the movie, I did a charity, and they gave me a set of clubs, Callaway,
mm-hmm.
which is all I have ever used. And from that day forward, from like 4.5 years ago, I played every day. Every morning, I got up at 3 or 4 in the morning and went down to Eisenhower Park and played mostly the red, but then Mondays it's closed, so it's white of the blue, and the blue's a little short,
mm-hmm.
so it's mostly the white. And I played sometimes, and I walked the course. You know, I can't play. I hate playing from a golf cart. I don't even like playing in, charities because
they're all
go to the charity. Yeah, it's best ball and scrambles, and you know, it's and you're playing from the cart, so I don't enjoy it.
Sure.
I used to get my 18 in, and then maybe go play then, or just go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I played every day, 5, 6, 7 times a week, sometimes twice in a day, which the second round I didn't like because it took 5.5 hours, where the first one took 4.
Right.
But I'd be the first couple out by 6:30, 6:15, 6 o'clock, I'm done by 10. It's great. So I was between 88 and 92, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was driving me nuts that I couldn't shave 3-4 strokes off it. And it got inside my head. In August, I said, you know what, I'm just going to lay off and I'm done. And it was just driving me nuts. And I've been thinking about it this year. I'm saying, you know, I missed a routine. And I actually put on weight, which I didn't like, and I'm laying around. And I went through the winter, and now golf has started again. Everybody's asking when I'm coming back. And everybody's asking for me. So I'm going to dedicate this winter to getting back in shape, at least playing shape,
mm-hmm.
and start up again next year because I'm not going to have the game, like, beat me. You know, I don't think I'm going to be scratch.
Right.
But I want to be, you know, 80, 82, 84, 86 consistently, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, sure. I don't think anybody, no one would, a lot of amateur golfers would take that in a heartbeat. And you got to remember, Joe, I mean, even if you... not playing the way you want to play. You're a man who's had double hip replacement, as you just said, and so the exercise alone is good.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what I miss most because you're exercising, but you don't even realize it.
Sure,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
Now that's why walking on a treadmill can be very boring, but when you're going up hills, down hills, zigzag, and you know it's 5-6 miles.
Sure,
it's hot out, just drinking water, and I enjoy that. You know, people say, oh, just have fun and this and that. I don't have fun if I'm not playing well. It's not fun slicing, hooking, hitting balls fat, you know, hitting thin. That to me is not fun. I'm a competitive guy. I played sports growing up, a lot of baseball and hockey. I'm a huge sports fan. So I want to play well. I'm not going to play, you know, great every time. I understand it's... Listen, I played hockey and baseball. Beat the horn a little, why don't you? what was I saying?
It's you are in New York, so.
Yeah, I know.
To be expected.
It's the hardest sport ever, and I try to tell people that, and they don't get it. But I say, you know, it's so many variables and so many things that you got to do and so skillful. You know, it's not the, maybe hitting a baseball with a round ball and a bat safely 3 out of 10 times is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And basketball players are in shape, and you get a Craig Stadler who's not in shape, but he's, you know, a great golfer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tremendous, tremendous skill, and, you know, especially the pros. I mean, they got to put all of that on block and focus. It's the hardest sport.
Oh, without a doubt. We're going to take a short break, Joe, and we'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, we're back. Thank you for joining me on Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is chef, actor, author, Joseph Caniscoli. Joe, what was some of the... I know you played Eisenhower. Was Eisenhower your favorite place to go to, or is it just the most convenient place to go to?
It is my favorite place to go to, because the Red Cross is... fantastic. Golf Digest did a story on me. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Eisenhower.
I did.
Yeah. And it's convenient. It was my routine. You know, I'm a routine guy. I got up 4 o'clock, stopped at, got some coffee, went there, got online, well, put my marker out, then I, you know, hang out until it opens. And then I got your ticket, then I went to go bagel store to have more coffee and read the papers, and then go back into York. So that was my routine, and that's what I love to do, and I'm going to do it again. So, I, you know, people invite me to play all different courses. This course is beautiful, that course is beautiful. And I said, until I could hit a ball, you know, with my irons, my short game, my putting, I've always had a good feel for putting.
Mm-hmm.
But I got soft hands, as they said, around the net.
Sure.
I until I could hit a ball, because I could drive it no matter where I am, and, you know, hit the 3, 5, whatever. Then I'll take in the other courses. Then I'll take in the beauty of it and so on. But I felt it was like a waste because, you know, why slice on a beautiful course when I could do it at Eisenhower?
Right, absolutely. Have you taken lessons before, or is that something that's going to be part of your re-entry into the game? I was just asking if you, part of your rededication to the game, will you go see a PGA professional?
You know, the problem with that is that, and people have, because I was chefing at this restaurant one day a week, and people have offered, you know, your first lessons on me, and I've taken lessons. The problem is that you don't know really who's best for you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a type of guy that, you know, constantly read. I was watching tons of video. I just admit, I'm going to be hopefully working with a new golf network called the Back Nine Network.
Sure.
Do you know Back Nine?
I know them well, sure. Dennis Allen and John Bosworth, I think, is the CEO there. It's I know them very well. I've had them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're...
Jamie Bosian.
What's that?
No, Jamie...
Jamie Bosworth.
Jamie Bosworth.
Yeah.
Jamie Bosworth, and I'm friend with Paul Pendergast and Robert Knott. I'm getting my name's Robert Abbott.
Okay. I don't know them as well, but I know Matt Adams, who's a part of their programming now, and John McGinnis, who's part of their program now.
Right.
I've interviewed Dennis Allen for my website, and so I know them very well. Very very cool up and coming network.
Yeah, it is, and I'm going to actually be doing a show with them, and it's going to be like sort of well, we haven't worked it out. They're looking for content.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down, had a great meeting with them. They got great offices.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a party there, and I met Patrick Harrington.
Oh, yeah, sure. Pretty so, cool. Yeah.
Good guy. And he said the only guy that you should look for to emulate in your swing is Tadler, because you're both built the same. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing. I was reading so much and watching videos, trying to teach myself, like I pretty much did with acting and like I did with cooking. I'm self-taught. So I figured, well, you know, just keep working at it and watching and learning. And, you know, the more you play, the better you'll get.
Absolutely.
But that really hasn't happened yet. So to answer your question, I need to get with a good teacher that, and I'm sure they're out there, but
yeah.
It's a little pricey too, you know?
Yeah, it takes a little courtship. Well, we're just about a little out of time here, Joe. I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, that was great. I mean, I didn't get to ask you. I don't even know if you're a pro, if you just play a lot.
No, I'm just a guy who's just passionate about golf and decided to start a golf show about Long Island golf, and that's basically it.
Well, listen, we'll hook up. We have each other's email. We'll hook up, and we'll play around. I'm definitely going to get back.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'll definitely hold you to that because I'll make sure I call you next spring.
All right, pal.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. All right, that's Joe Caniscoli, chef, actor, author, just a fantastic guy, and glad to have him on the program. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for listening, and hope you get a chance to go out there and hit some balls. Have a great weekend.